Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We're learning more as far as tragedy striking Philadelphia and learning more about this Temple student. We now know the student who died. We learned last night the student who died at the Eagles celebration during all of the festivities, NFC East Championship, clinching it, the city out there celebrating, the buildings all in green. And then tragedy struck with this student that we talked about yesterday. We now know that his name is Tyler Sabathy, and he actually was a Temple student, 18 years old, and he has lost his battle for life. We had told you yesterday he was in very critical condition. And so 18 years old, he fell from that light pole during celebrations after the Eagles' NFC Championship win, and that was over the weekend.
Yeah, Canadian. And it looks like he was a gymnast. I saw the photo. I thought he might be a college wrestler, but he's actually a gymnast.
Yeah, and actually they've said that he was a, you know, quite a champion, award-winning gymnast. I don't have reaction from his family, but we do have this morning. I know Temple University has released a statement.
So he tried to do a backflip off of a light pole?
Greg, I will tell
you
this.
We've seen the video.
No. Here's what I'm. The story that they're saying is that he had climbed a light pole and lost his grip. There's so much video that I believe that it was a student we saw do the backflip.
Yep.
Well, it's been pulled.
Yes, because that guy was that video that I saw. And by the way, I'm glad we didn't play it yesterday.
Thank God.
But the video that I saw looked like him doing a backflip. No,
what was he
expecting to accomplish with that? To land on his feet?
He's a gymnast, so he's probably, you know.
I mean, my girls have done gymnastics, and you know they land on soft padded mats that have a lot of springs in them, or even trampoline type, bounce backs. I mean, I'm wondering, and maybe we will find out with the autopsy. I mean, he's a young college kid. Was he intoxicated? That's a fair question to ask.
Okay, we're not going to go there. I will say this, that if you look at 6ABC, and Phil Almquist can put this up, because it's a photo by Christopher Caban, and they're showing at 15th and Market, and the street pole clearly says Market Street. You see two people on that pole. So there, 6ABC would make it appear that this is a young man up on a pole. There are three different videos going around.
Yeah.
One of a guy doing a back, like you're saying, doing a backflip and lands. 6ABC showing this photo, and the story they're saying is that he lost his grip.
Mm.
So I don't have that information.
Mm. Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? And I think there's a lot online. So I don't know if this photo is him up on that pole, then it's not the one that was pulled off the internet.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there were multiple, if not many, people climbing objects on Sunday night.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a lot of video.
So there's the university, Temple University, first-year student, and the university releasing that statement. It's with deep sadness we write to share news of the death of first-year student Tyler Sabathy. Over the weekend, Tyler sustained critical injuries and ultimately passed away this afternoon, meaning this happened last night. I think they had, 6ABC had the story, I think, on their 5 or 6 o'clock news last night. And so now we're getting the reaction from this. So they're saying that he was a promising 18-year-old. It's tragic. It's traumatic. And our hearts go out to Tyler's family, friends, classmates, all who knew him. But they're saying it happened 15th and Market Streets in Center City, Philadelphia. He was taken to Jefferson Hospital with a brain injury.
Oof.
And they had to pronounce him 2 days later. He was, remember, as of yesterday morning, he was on life support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We reported that.
Well, there was reports going around on the internet yesterday morning that he had already passed. But,
wow.
Yes.
It was
we were hearing that.
It was unsubstantiated.
And that they were getting the family in because he is a native of Toronto, Canada. So that's where his family and parents are. They say that he was an accomplished gymnast. He had more than 120 medals in even international competitions, local competitions. And, you know, it's thick with irony because he was actually All he talked about, he was fascinated, they say, with injury prevention.
Yeah.
That's a quote.
Yeah. You know, Cal, you talk about being intoxicated. I mean, we've all, especially at that age, we've all done stupid things that we were like, boy, glad I survived that one.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But some people aren't that lucky. We don't know if he was or not.
Right.
But, you know.
And as far as now the question is, here's the question where it's going. Because they're asking the city.
Phil has the picture from 6ABC.
From 6ABC.
Yeah.
So this does not appear to be the same location or person.
Yeah, that's 15th and Market.
Yeah, man. And that's where this definitely happened.
Hmm.
So, but the city is being asked, were those poles greased?
So the city could potentially be held liable?
Oh, yes. My God, are you kidding?
No.
No, the city should not be held liable.
No.
I mean, it's a tragedy that happened, but, I mean, stop climbing, you know, public property.
Yeah.
The city's not saying that, and the authorities, I mean, police are still investigating this, and we have all of these different reports. Where I don't have an injury report on those. At least four officers were attacked. I mean, sometimes officers will have injuries during the melee like this, but in particular, these four officers were attacked, struck, many of them struck with bottles over the head. And so I know at least one officer, you know, those were, I mean, they had to go to the hospital and get treated. Not life-threatening injuries, but we did have two arrestees. Remember, we talked about that, one of them from California. And then we also had shootings. We had one stabbing. And then, like I say, those assaults on law enforcement. So a lot to parse through there. We have another story. And how often do we talk about this in the city of Philadelphia? And Greg Stocker can probably relate to this kind of story. Your four-year-old little boy falls asleep in the SUV. Mom runs in to grab something, doesn't want to get the four-year-old because it's right there in the driveway, doesn't want to get the four-year-old out of the car seat, wake him up. As she quickly runs in, leaving her SUV, running there, guess who hopped in her SUV, and this thief steals her SUV driving away.
Man.
And panic as I can't even, you know, I know Greg relates to this with a 4-year-old, you and Steph. I mean, oh my goodness. So this happened on the 3000 block of West Susquehanna Avenue. This is Philadelphia Strawberry Mansion section. Mom, you know, says it was seconds, you know, runs in, runs back out. Thank God she had the iPad in the back seat with
track
the little boy.
Oh, nice.
They tracked it.
See, so the one time that giving your kid an iPad works out is this situation.
As you're watching Bluey on YouTube.
Yes.
Bringing
it all together.
Bringing it all together.
Number one streaming.
Gotta pay attention all week, folks.
Look, I would not do that in Strawberry Mansion in my driveway of my, you know, picket fence white neighborhood, white picket fence neighborhood. I would do it, but not in Strawberry Mansion, no.
So thank God. They tracked the vehicle. They did not catch the thief. In a lot of these, the thief knows that when they see, oh my goodness, there's a kid in the back. So they abandon the vehicle with the child in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Abort, yeah. Abort.
But it was, you know, luckily it wasn't the frigid temperatures. We'll talk about the forecast, but they did leave the vehicle parked.
Yep.
In another section of Philadelphia, by the way. But the little boy's back home. Thank God he's safe. I know we're going to get to this. We did finally have an ICE raid here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yes, this is in Philadelphia's Juniata Park section. Seven men detained. That's what we're hearing.
It was at a car wash or something?
It was at the car wash.
Tom Homan, Christy Nome. I know technically not that they were not in Philadelphia, but
I don't know, man. As long as they scrub my wheel wells, I'm all fine. I'm fine with this.
Christy Nome accomplished.
Rapists and murderers scrubbing your wheels.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine.
Don't forget that hot wax. I paid for the upgrade.
Tip them a five and
yeah.
Let him do the wheel wells.
Oh. Yeah.
Stop.
I'll tell you, though.
Tooth feeling.
Two things with Christy Nome. Number one, she's already done more work than Alejandro Mayorkas has done in 4 years. That's right off the top. And two, have you seen Christy Nome in the DHS ICE outfit? Hey, for all the men out there.
And a few women.
Oh, yeah. And for the women as well.
I mean, you You guys realize this is a giant reality show, right?
Oh,
I mean, you guys.
It's made for television.
It doesn't feel like it. That's exactly what it is.
You know what it is?
It's cops.
With what was the guy that used to host it? Walsh.
Yeah, John Walsh.
John Walsh. I love it.
Well, it is. It's a reality show, but it's also like a superhero show. Last night, when Elon Musk puts out on social media, the astronauts are stuck in space, and the president of the United States of America has asked me to go and get them and bring them home, or, you know, and I'm like, it is. It's Avengers.
Trump basically said, "Hey, Elon, you're becoming a real pain in my ass. Why don't you go to space for a couple of months and go help those people out
for a couple of years?" Yeah, right.
I need Musk decompression.
Elon Musk is Tony Stark. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, the number is more than 3,000 arrests from ICE. And that's, you think about that, we were around 1,000 on Sunday. Now we're up to a little over 3,000. So we're at, as far as a nation, we've never seen these kinds of operations in our nation's history.
Yeah. I've got some details we'll do in the bottom of the hour segment with ICE in the Inquirer. But I would say this, as far as Stocker's comment on the reality television, I'm not even joking here. If ICE had like a streaming channel and you could pay $9.99 a month to watch it for all of the major city deportation efforts, would you not sign up for that and watch that? ICE agents kicking down doors, arresting people?
Yeah.
I didn't say it wasn't
a good strategy.
Oh, no.
Let me rephrase that. A popular strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that anybody who doesn't think that this is all orchestrated to be, you know, a reality TV show is fooling themselves.
Well, they're showing the American people that they're out there getting what they promised to do done. I love it. I'd love to go on one of those personal raids myself. Sit in the back of the car.
Well, apparently
I've made all the requests.
Yeah, I was going to say apparently they're just letting people come along with them.
Wow,
like that scumbag Dr. Phil.
Yeah, I'm better than Dr.
I agree, Dr.
You know,
Dawn.
Well, what did you do? Like I could, you know, I'd be good.
God, you should deport him.
Come on. This I have to get. I'm going to just give you this some headlines because we got to go, but. I will say to you, this one struck me, this story, and I know I sent it to you guys last night, but this is a former Pensbury high school music teacher sentenced in a court of law here in Bucks County, local story, for possession of thousands of images and videos of child pornography. He's identified as 47-year-old Christopher Bygott. Even though he worked in Bucks County, his residence is Hamilton, New Jersey. So he was in Bucks County Court of Common Pleas before Judge Jeffrey Finley sentenced to 3 years of probation.
That is outrageous. I mean, that gets you killed in prison if you go to prison for it. Yet this judge says, slap on the wrist, just be clean for 3 years. That's outrageous.
3 years probation.
No.
Now, the superintendent of Pensbury School, the Pensbury High School and schools, he put out a statement saying there was no evidence that this music teacher, fired music teacher, obviously, there was no evidence and they had nothing as far as physically doing anything to a child.
Yeah, he just fantasized about it.
But they found thousands of these images of child sex abuse materials that depicted, you know, pretty sicko acts of, you know, children, of young children of all various ages. But they did track his cell phone and the computer to the school.
Mm-hmm.
So the belief is that this was being viewed while at the school.
Ugh.
So keep him at home on probation where he can look at more child porn.
Right.
And get off on it.
Yeah, and satisfy his sick addiction.
You know where he wouldn't be able to do that? Prison.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, right? No iPads in the joint.
Well, he will be required to register as a sex offender through Megan's Law for 15 years.
That's great. Wow. That's great.
Not forever.
Yeah.
And he has to undergo some sex offender treatment, and he cannot have contact with any children or minors unsupervised.
Oh, we just deport him to
no one supervised.
Amen.
So we got that one going.
Colombia needs him.
Yeah, send him to Ecuador.
That one, and that's a Bucks County story. So yeah. We have the others. Bob Menendez, disgraced New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, faces sentencing today. and he faces up to 15 years behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
We have that one going on.
Actually, we should do a swap. I'll let Bob walk and get probation if we send the pedophile to the can.
Amen.
Right.
Gold Bar gets to keep his bars.
Who's the judge, by the way, that gave this guy probation?
Is that his name? Finley?
Yeah.
Judge Finley, and this is in Bucks. Judge Jeffrey Finley.
Great job, Judge.
Bucks County Court of Common Pleas.
Yeah.
He'll be hosting a TV judge show in 9 months.
So we have all of that going on. I'm not even getting to the... I know we're going to get to the Caroline Leavitt news conference, which everybody's talking about. That's a big one today. But I wanted to focus on local stories because I know we're about to get to all of the other news, big news of the day. And let's talk about Meineke, our sponsor. When you step on your brakes, do you hear that squeal? Maybe a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke and their expert technicians. They're going to diagnose the problem. Find a location nearest you, Meineke.com. High wind warnings go into effect 9 o'clock this morning. Windy, very windy, and warm, 50 degrees. 50 degrees, but high winds today. It's a warm Wednesday. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:19 Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company,
which is brought to you by Robert Half. The Big Take, lectures and lies in the free speech era. The mainstream media, they love to lecture you and lie to you. The previous administration had a White House press secretary that would read from a binder and a president who is hardly available or accessible. The spoken word era from the president of the United States to his staffers to who you should listen to, it's changing. The landscape of independent truth seekers in journalism is upon us. Donald Trump's White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, the youngest ever, at all of 27 years old, well, she wasted little time yesterday in her first career briefing, setting the tone for this administration. Listen and watch this.
The Trump White House will speak to all media outlets and personalities, not just the legacy media who are seated in this room. Because according to recent polling from Gallup, Americans' trust in mass media has fallen to a record low. Millions of Americans, especially young people, have turned from traditional television outlets and newspapers to consume their news from podcasts, blogs, social media, and other independent outlets. It's essential to our team that we share President Trump's message everywhere and adapt this White House to the new media landscape in 2025.
Donald Trump doesn't need the mainstream media. The American public no longer consumes or trusts the mainstream media. According to the latest Gallup poll, 61% of Americans distrust legacy media, meaning less than 4 out of 10 citizens believe legacy outlets for the truth. And speaking of a president whose greatest ability is his visibility, the Daily Caller breaking it down and reporting the massive difference in Trump compared to Biden and speaking to the American public. They write the following, quote, in Biden's first week in office from January 20th, 2021 through January 26th, the then 77-year-old president took just 6 questions from the White House press corps, according to the White House pool reports. Some of these questions were answered with just one word. Comparatively, the Daily Caller's analysis shows that Trump surpassed that number just several hours after being sworn in, as he took a total of 75 questions and follow-ups over a 48-minute period in the Oval Office while signing executive orders. Trump, 78 years old, took questions from the press 11 times, often for extended period of times, throughout the first week. Biden, comparatively, took questions 51 times during his first 3 months in office and interacted with the press a total of 164 times over his first year. But based on the interactions so far with the media during Trump's first week, he is on pace to easily surpass both Biden's 3-month and 1-year benchmark. No, it's not a figment of your imagination a week and a half in to this administration. We actually have a president again. Out with the old, in with the new. That is also the theme of journalism in 2025, and that even applies to CNN. Well, sort of. The three-letter network, they'll continue to fail as they rearrange the chairs on the Titanic, but it's curtains for Jim Acosta. Here is the angriest man on television yesterday signing off and lecturing you, the American public, one last time. Listen and watch.
It is never a good time to bow down to a tyrant. I've always believed it's the job of the press to hold power to account. I've always tried to do that here at CNN, and I plan on going doing all of that in the future. One final message. Don't give in to the lies. Don't give in to the fear. Hold on to the truth and to hope. Even if you have to get out your phone, record that message. I will not give in to the lies. I will not give in to the fear. Post it on your social media so people can hear from you too.
What a dramatic production. Lies, fear, tyrant. You mean like hoax after hoax from your network, Hitler, mask and vaccine mandates, that kind of tyranny? What a bitter individual he is. Donald Trump posting the following on Truth Social yesterday after Jim Acosta and the CNN news came out saying the following, quote, wow, really good news. Jim Acosta, one of the worst and most dishonest reporters in journalistic history, a major sleazebag, has been relegated by fake news CNN to the midnight hour, also known as Death Valley, because of extraordinarily bad ratings and no talent. Word is that he wanted to quit, and that would be even better. Jim is a major loser who will fail no matter where he ends up. Good luck, Jim, end quote. But if America is on the verge of the golden era, as Trump says, can the same be said for the media and journalism? Nobody better than Matt Taibbi. He's about as good as it gets. He joined Tucker Carlson, and he said this about the media and journalism as a profession. Listen and watch.
We're heading into a golden age for investigative journalism. I think this is after 8 years of crazy, misleading news stories and dead ends and unanswered questions and fake news, ranging from Russiagate to Nord Stream to, you know, the COVID origins where we were actively kept away from one side of that story for years. I think we're going to find out a lot of this stuff. There are investigations already underway, document hunts going on all over the place. There are reports that have been commissioned to look into a lot of these questions, and they're going to be staffed up with a lot of money and a lot of personnel. And it's just an unprecedented situation where, for instance, the DHS or the FBI or the DOJ would be in sync with congressional investigators to the point where they're not going to have to issue subpoenas for a lot of this stuff. They're just going to sit down and say, here's a list of the documents we want to find. And I think that they're going to have that collaborative arrangement.
It's incredible.
I believe it's a certainty. In fact, it's been underway for multiple years already, and it shouldn't slow down anytime soon. Sarah Haynes, co-host of The View on ABC, saying yesterday that the panel of hosts on that show, quote, don't know what Americans think because nobody on the show voted for Trump, end quote. A complete and total disconnect from reality. And that's the problem with the media. They lecture you, but they don't understand you because they don't live like you because they make millions of dollars. I believe the free speech era is alive and will absolutely thrive. The marketplace of ideas will be judge, jury, and executioner of thought and speech. And I've said it many times, the best way to counter bad speech or speech you disagree with is not less speech. In fact, it is more speech. First, it was X, then you throw in Rumble, Truth, and even Meta, and of course, talk radio, which has been around for decades. The Wall Street Journal with this column, headline, Meta's free speech shift made it clear to advertisers that brand safety is out of vogue. They write, when Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg unveiled sweeping changes this month to loosen the company's restrictions on speech, he talked about how the legacy media have pushed to censor content, how the recent election was a cultural tipping point, and how fact checkers destroyed more trust than they've created. Meta executives had a very different emphasis in a January 17th call with advertisers, where they focused on the steps that brands can take to keep their ads from appearing near content that they deem out of bounds, whether it's misinformation or offensive speech. In terms of brand safety, we are, quote, 100% committed, Meta ad executive Samantha Stetson told the advertisers. But according to reports, that isn't the way the advertisers see it. I would say this, it's very simple to all companies. If you don't like what Meta permits, move your marketing money elsewhere. Threads, Blue Sky Social, whatever social safe space you feel fine with. But most Americans, not all, But most Americans are smart enough, mature enough, and respect the Constitution and the First Amendment enough to handle speech that they disagree with or if they dislike it. But before we wrap, let's revisit this gem from Donald Trump and Jim Acosta of CNN way back in the first Trump term. Enjoy.
Since you're attacking us, can you give us a question? Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question?
No,
Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
Oh, that was then. This is now. It's a new day in this country with speech and media, and I believe it's one for the better. And that's the Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by our friends at Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Their recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI business model to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Thoughts, impressions, reactions to not only Caroline Leavitt's first day, Jim Acosta out at CNN, the future of journalism, according to Matt Taibbi. Take all your thoughts on that, and then we will delve into the ICE raids right here in the city of Philadelphia. It's Kale and Company Wednesday morning. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I am so thankful I found some real talent, great guys at Marvin E. Cans. They're coming back to my house this week because I needed some new wires with the HVAC. Just incredible. And I'm so thankful that when I was getting my home ready for winter, I called Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning, and they really got us ready for winter. Marvin E. Cans, third generation owned and veteran founded company. Take my advice. Call Marvin E. Cans, get your furnace checked for winter. And if they feel your unit, for example, needs to be replaced, they're going to give you an honest assessment at a fair price and install a high efficiency train furnace. It's hard to stop a train, T-R-A-N-E. Contact Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning now, marvinecans.com. That's Marvin E. K-A-N-Z-E.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Certainly a lot locally. And I absolutely love the fact that ICE came here to our city of Philadelphia and conducted a North Philly car wash raid. It's great that it's been happening in Chicago. Cool to see in New York. But I care most importantly, after this country, I care about this city and our residents. And that's what we got yesterday.
Somebody brought up on the YouTube chat, which I think is a great question. What happens to the owner of the car wash? They need to be charged too, right?
I would think so. And also put up a now hiring sign.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. There are I have so many questions about this. First of all, the owner, did they have social security numbers? And then were those fake? Because this happened to me years ago. I don't know if I ever told you this, where I realized, it's too long of a story, but I realized somebody, a janitor in Texas, had my social security number.
Is that right?
It was after a smash and grab. My car smash and grabbed in Philadelphia, so they got, and stupidly I have my social security card
right,
like in my purse.
Oh, wow.
In the car. I know, it was long. So anyway, the funny thing is I tracked the guy down. He was working as a janitor in a corporation in like Houston. I call the company and the woman's talking to me and I'm like, do you know this guy? Did it us? So the bottom line was nothing happened.
Did he knowingly have it, or was he unaware? Because he just assigned one.
Well, Nick, this guy just wanted to work.
Okay.
Some people just want to work.
Sure.
So he was like their janitor at a big corporation.
Yep.
They did everything right.
Yep.
But he had an actual... So now, how do they not look up the social security number?
Especially if he's on a payroll.
Right, and track it to a woman.
Guys, come on. This is a North Philly car wash. There's no payroll.
No, and I would imagine that these are all paid under the table.
They're
as
all
well.
Paid. Of course, they're all paid under the
but
table.
But not all people are. But the point is, what are they accused of? Because there was later a rally
yes.
after they discovered this.
Yep.
And one of the spokespeople actually had the audacity to say, well, you know, if I go into a Target and I forget to pay, and he was speaking about the Lake and Riley Act going mm-hmm. into effect.
Yep.
Because he was like, you know, because if I go into a Target and I forget to pay,
whoever forgets
then technically
to pay.
I've committed, because right. that happened to all of us, all, like, oops, forgot to pay.
Well,
Target has cameras everywhere. Like, it's really hard to forget to pay at Target of all places.
Well, I mean, if you forget one item, you know, if you buy 27 items and for one, you forget to put one up on the conveyor belt and scan it, like, I could see that. But you just don't go in there and forget to pay for, mm-hmm. you know, your entire checkout order. What actually is laughable about this, from what I have read, is, so I'll just give you the backdrop, and then the one thing, I'm going to give you an illustration and an example of why this is an absurd counterpoint. So ICE, as Dawn said, they arrested 7 migrants during a Tuesday morning raid on a North Philadelphia car wash. Then, of course, leaders of advocacy groups reached out to the men's families, about 25, this is according to the Inquirer if you want to read it, 25 pastors, activists, and city residents converged in protest. And again, you just have no idea what you're protesting. So according to the new sanctuary, deport them too. I'm tired of protesters. You know, on second thought, get rid of the First Amendment. I'm at it with your ass. According to New Sanctuary Movement of Philadelphia, most, if not all, of the men who were arrested had been in the United States for years. One person to whom the group has lent legal support has been in the country since 1999 and was on track to receive lawful permanent residency, what is known as a green card, group leaders said. It doesn't matter. And this is what drives me nuts. I don't care that you've been here for over a quarter century. In 1999, you came here illegally. And unless you are officially legal, you are still technically illegal. That would be like me saying, well, I was accused of murder in 1999, but it's been 26 years. No, it was still illegal 26 years ago. That's not a valid counterargument or defense. So, again, we go back to the most basic crux of these conversations that we have had. It is illegal. Like Tom Homan has said it countless times. Who was it a day or so ago that we played from the cut sheet? She was trying to justify, and he's like, it's still illegal. Yeah, you're an illegal alien. You cannot come across. And I believe Levitt was you know, reiterating that point. Under this administration, it might not have been under the previous administration, but in our world now with Donald Trump 2.0, it is illegal to come here.
This is cut 4, Phil, if you have it. Roll it.
Of illegal aliens under the previous administration. Additionally, President Trump signed an executive order to end catch and release and finish construction of his effective border wall. By using every lever of his federal power, President Trump has sent a loud and clear message to the entire world. America will no longer tolerate illegal immigration. And this president expects that every nation on this planet will cooperate with the repatriation of their citizens. As proven by this weekend, when President Trump swiftly directed his team to issue harsh and effective sanctions and tariffs on the Colombian government, upon hearing they were denied a U.S. military aircraft full of their own citizens who were deported by this administration.
So there she is, Caroline Levitt. Now, in regards to the ICE raids in Philly, the Mexican consulate in Philadelphia has been in touch with the men's families, according to the New Sanctuary Movement. Efforts to contact the consulate in Mexico, surprisingly, were unsuccessful. Why? Because they don't want them back. That's why. Dawn, your thoughts, by the way, on Caroline Levitt and the way she handled herself in day one?
I thought she crushed it. I thought she did a great job. Now, here's the thing about Caroline Levitt. When interviewing her, she, and I talked to Dan Borowski a lot about her, that during the campaign, during the Trump campaign, when, you know, we would interview her, she speaks very quickly and oftentimes doesn't really get as personal, like you have to, because she has like that shield on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Tunnel
because
vision.
She does well because she did so many interviews.
Yeah.
The way that she delivers her message, the way that she speaks very quickly, is exactly what you want for this job. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in interviews, I would have to try to, you know, because she had just had a baby. Remember that? She had a baby, and like the next day, she's back to the campaign trail. So I would try to, during interviews, get more personal with her, which she did, you know. But this delivery that she has, and especially during the interaction with Caitlin Collins, who has that, Caitlin Collins sets her eyes a certain way, like, you know, like a shark when they're about to bite you.
Yeah.
And sort of that dead look in her eyes. And she, and boom, Caroline just returns it in rapid fire.
Yeah.
And she's able to do that. And so her, and I know I'm getting into the weeds with delivery, but her delivery during that kind of situation where she's quick and she does rapid fire, I would refer to you the president's statement. He already talked about that. Blah, blah, blah. Go, next question. Blah, blah, blah. Like, she moves it along, and they're not used to that at all.
Yep.
Because think about it, they had KJP. You know what I mean? Like,
the binder.
Slow-mo.
Yep.
So now you have somebody who is highly efficient in her job, and she's like, I already talked about that. Go to that, you know. Like, I expect her to, like, give a feed of, like, all the, Trump talked about that. Here's the live, you know, they should have Greg on the cut sheet, actually.
Yeah.
Caroline Leavitt, you know what was missing? Greg Stocker.
Thank you.
She needed to go, you know what, we're introducing here to the White House press corps, Greg Stocker as cut sheet. So when they asked, because many of them were asking things, I'm like,
clip seven, Caroline.
I'm like, yeah, are you guys not paying attention? But they're not. They didn't read the executive orders beforehand. They weren't doing their jobs, and I felt like going, let's go to Greg Stocker on the cut sheet, and he could play that soundbite for you.
She had a great, this is cut six, Phil, she had a great rebuttal when asked about how many illegals or criminals. Roll it.
Can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws, and therefore they are criminals, as far as this administration goes. I know the last administration didn't see it that way, so it's a big culture shift in our nation to view someone who breaks our immigration laws as a criminal, but that's exactly what they are.
Boom. 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 There you go. Boom. Double boom. Double boom.
Mic drop.
Yes. And in regards to ICE in Philadelphia one last time, I just wanted to give a couple of more, a little bit more context here. Quote, people who don't have the correct documentation do not deserve to be picked up at work or in their houses and thrown into a detention center. That was Rabbi Linda Holtzman, who said yesterday to a group of people at the ICE headquarters in Center City, quote, they do not deserve to have their lives torn apart and their families torn apart, which is just absurd. I'm looking at the official ICE X feed. Now, these are some individuals that were arrested in Chicago, Atlanta, and Newark, New Jersey. So these crimes and rap sheets are not necessarily duplicates or in the same context of the individuals at the car wash in Philadelphia. But if you want to hit me back with these individuals don't deserve to have their lives and families torn apart, let's just say that they are violent offenders with records. Do you want individuals like, and these are some of the names from ICE. ICE arrested a man 2 days ago in Atlanta. He had 2 counts of child molestation. His name was Fernando Hernandez Martinez. A Honduran national was apprehended in Chicago. Robbery, escape, retail theft, and confirmed membership to the gang called Sereno, S-U-R-E-N-O. Or how about Honduran national, no name for this guy, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Mm-hmm. And then another guy with multiple counts of child pornography and sexual deviance. So you want to talk about families that are torn apart or destroyed? How about those that have had their lives impacted as taxpaying American citizens while the past administration just openly allowed these individuals to come in? We want to talk about families? Let's talk about families. Let's talk about American families first, not people that have committed crimes that haven't gone about citizenship the correct way in this country. Again, honestly, and I know we'll continue to talk about it because it's, you know, Americans said it was the number one issue right next to the economy. But it's honestly the dumbest conversation we can ever have. I thought, you know, the conversations about chopping off your genitals at 14, even though you can't get a tattoo until you're 18, was a dumb argument. This one might take the cake, Dawn.
Yeah, my concern here is that the cost. So if there are, let's say, 11 million, the official number from the Homeland Security, let's say 11 million illegal people the people who are illegally in this country.
Yeah.
And there are many estimates that it's double that. But let's say it's 11 million. And then it's a minimum, they say, of about 14,000 per person to extract and deport mm-hmm. with all the costs.
Yep.
And so you're looking at billions of dollars. And so I think that's part of the reason that they're going after. They're trying to say the most dangerous individuals or those predators they're trying to get out of the country first.
Can't put a price tag on that.
Because they're going to, yeah, and they're going to run out of money. They, at some point, they need Congress. That's why I know Lindsey Graham was over the weekend. I mean, they've already started saying they need funding, right. and they're going to run out of money.
Yes. 855-839-1210. Speaking of money, we will get to Trump's federal frozen funds story coming up in just a little bit. But for the final 2 or 3 minutes, just to put a bow on some of the local stories, I'm not sure how many of our listeners live in Montgomery County. I live in Montgomery County. This one really stood out to me, especially after Trump has dismantled DEI in many facets. I know yesterday he banned a lot of the transgender child mutilation that came out on Truth Social. And Dawn, you sent that to us in our group text yesterday. But WHYY.org, I'm reading from, I just want to credit them. Montgomery County officials doubled down on DEI initiatives amidst the Trump administration cuts. And this was actually late last week. The Montgomery County Board of Commissioners is adding 4 new positions to the county's Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And they have authorized the hiring of 2 deputy chief DEI officers, a director of immigrant affairs, so we can bring that back to illegal immigration, and a senior administrative assistant. Remember Neil Makhija? He's the chair of the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners.
Oh, yeah.
Remember he tweeted back in the fall he was the first one to cast a ballot in the election, and it was kind of premature, and we talked about him, you know, doing that whole photo op. Big time Trump hater. He says, by fostering representation that includes our entire community, we can continue to hire the best of the best, ensuring our workforce is as innovative, skilled, and diverse as the people we serve. And he goes on and on through this list of individuals that will be hired and all the amount of people that are going to have either diversity, equity, or inclusion in their job titles, which is just, as a county resident, as somebody has to pay taxes in a very expensive county, granted, my choice to live there, you know, I signed up for it. But they just raised taxes again, and you're going to try to spin it to me under the mantra of DEI in a day and age in America where a majority of Americans are done with DEI, corporations are ditching it, we are returning to merit-based principles in hiring, in promotion, in admissions across the board, and you're going to try to spin it to me that you're hiring the best of the best when we know DEI, in many cases, does not hire the best of the best, but yet you're going to charge me more to live in your county, and I presumably 70, 80, 90% of the time will get less for my money. What was the number? I think, Dawn, you threw it out multiple times in the news or in conversation. I think Montgomery County up taxes another 3% or something to
that
effect.
It's multiple times now. But yeah. Nick, equity does not happen by chance. It requires deliberate action and sustained commitment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what their vice chair said. They say this is a transformative investment, Montgomery County, so you should be willing to pay.
Yeah. Just fix 202, okay? I don't care about your DEI. I care about my tires and my shocks and my struts on my truck. 855-839-1210. Also, if you have a chance, we're not going to have time for it on the show. I did have it planned. But if you want to read about how DEI actually makes students and individuals unhappier and actually drives a racial divide, go to reason.com. The University of Michigan spent $250 million on DEI, and they ended up finding out, based on an exhaustive review by the New York Times, that it backfired. It actually made people angrier, those who were the beneficiaries of DEI hiring practices.
Because most people want to know that they got there On
the merits of their own abilities.
Exactly. Yep. Nobody wants to think that they were given a job.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I have friends that were, you know, they worked in a family business, and when their parents or grandparents or whatever retired, they were handed the business. They, to this day, will still say, like, that, you know, they didn't, they feel ashamed. Like their grandparents did it. They didn't earn it. They just kind of inherited it.
Yeah.
And they worked their balls off.
Yes.
So,
I say that to my brother-in-law all the time. He graduated high school and went right into my my mother and father-in-law's family catering and concession business. And he's been there 26 years.
Yeah.
I give it to him all the time. I'm like, you didn't earn that. I just gave you that.
But most of them work.
Yeah. No, he works
super hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just you're given your lot in life and, you know, make the best of it.
Yep.
Take the ball and run with it.
Amen. There you go. All right. ICE raids in Philly, DEI in Montgomery County. If you want in, 855-839-1210. News to kick off the second hour. And then we will get to the freezing of federal funds from Donald Trump. As he said, he was going to chop down the size of the federal government. He wasn't kidding.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.